God, only you have the words of life. And so, God, would you teach us this morning that it might be helpful, that you might meet us where we are, that you would help equip and prepare us, God, to make wise decisions as we seek to follow you. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Okay, so I want to paint a picture for you of seventh grade Sean, all right? And I know I couldn't find a picture. Unfortunately, I'll have to call my mom and dad and see if they can give me a picture. But seventh grade Sean, it's the first day of seventh grade. Now, I had been in private school most of my life. Sixth grade was kind of when I went from private school to public school. And if you've ever made that switch, you know that for a while, you're kind of just like learning the lay of the land, right? Who's who? You know, my sixth grade year, I was really just kind of floating through, learning, you know, the new dynamics of all that stuff. Is also, that's when middle school started for me. And so it was a whole deal. But then my first day of seventh grade, my first class was science class. And I don't know about your science classes, but in my science class, there were tables. You know, there were like lab tables where only two people could sit at a table. And seventh grade Sean is kind of dweeby looking, for lack of a better phrase, right? Seventh grade Sean would be the guy in the lobby that's kind of like sitting by himself a little bit, although he'd love for somebody to come talk to him. Hadn't quite learned how to interact with people very well. I wasn't very smooth back then. Obviously, that's definitely changed now. And so I'm sitting at the lab table. And, you know, so my last name is Hill, and so they go alphabetically. So next to me comes in somebody with the last name of Heinbaugh. That was her last name. And so naturally we were right next to each other. And her name's Kelly, and she sat down, and I was like, I knew I loved you before I met you. I thought I dreamed you into life. I knew I loved you before I met you. I've been waiting all my life. Now, that's from a Savage Garden song when I was in seventh grade. That's what that's from. And Kelly and I had never really talked before. And so, you know, she was nice. And so we started talking a little bit. And she's telling me a little bit about herself. I'm super awkward. And as she's talking, I'm like, I don't care who you are, where you're from. I don't care what you did, as long as you love me. No, that's a Backstreet Boys song that was also popular at the time. And I am just like, it hit me in a way I've never been hit before. And I was just like, man, I never thought that love could feel like this. And you changed my world with just one kiss. In my mind, I was hoping for that. And I was like, how can it be that right here with me is an angel? It's a miracle. And that was actually an NSYNC song called God Must Have Spent a Little More Time on You. And I was so like wrapped up. I had heard these songs before, but man, that day, that morning, first period, seventh grade, those songs hit me in a new way. I had crushes before, but something happened first period of seventh grade. And I was like, wow. Like those songs took on new meaning for me, to the point where when announcements came on, I was only kind of half listening because I was just like sitting next to Kelly, and this announcement comes on about cross country, and she goes, I love cross country. And I said, oh, me too. I thought it was geography. I was like, I know my state capitals. I'm going to impress her like crazy. And it turns out cross country is running, waking up really early in the morning and running lots of miles. And I did that for 2 years, not very well, and I never got the girl, right? So that's a bummer way for the story to end. But I tell you that to go, there was a moment where I was hit with something that I had never felt before. And these feelings just came on me in a way they never had. And some of you hear those songs and you're like, that is so dumb. But girls, I'm telling you, it might have already happened, or it's coming one day where you're just going to be like, Romeo, take me somewhere we can be alone. I love you. That's all I really know, right? Or guys, it's going to happen to you where you're like, man, we go together. Birds of a feather, you and me, right? We change the weather. I'm feeling heat in December when you are around me. Guys, you are going to experience that one day. Maybe you have. I don't know if you have. but it's coming. And so I don't know, because it's such a big room with a lot of people, I can't say this is when it's going to happen. Some of you, man, you've already felt that attraction to, you know, the opposite gender, and you're like, wow. Some of you are like, now you're still at, ugh, and you haven't, hadn't changed to, ooh, right? Those, it hadn't changed yet. But it probably will. And that time is going to come. And so here's a question that I want you to think about this morning. When that happens, or if it has, what are you going to do when that happens? Are you just going to blindly sign up to run cross country for 2 miserable years? I hope not, because that was pretty miserable. But what are you going to do when that happens? What will you do? Will you act on your feelings the way everyone else does? Will you act on your feelings the way the world around you shows to act on your feelings? Or will you act in a different way? What's funny is, like, most people, including you, have a plan for so many things. You've got a plan for academics, right? There's a plan for how academics work. You start out in kindergarten, and you learn some stuff in kindergarten. You learn how to, you know, you start to learn how to read. You learn how to color in the lines. And then you go up to first grade, right, where you're learning more stuff. And it just builds and builds and builds. And the design of that plan is that, hey, by the time you graduate high school, you're ready to go out into the world, whether that's to get more education in college, whether that's to go to some kind of trade school, or to just to jump in to business. You are ready. You are educated. There's a plan for athletics, right? If you're in athletics, the plan is that, man, you're going to practice. You're going to get better at your sport. You will work out. You'll get better at that. If you're in band, or if you're in drama, or any of those things, there's a plan for how you want to progress in that. Learning a musical instrument. You're going to pay for clothes. Oh, there's a plan for everything. But most people don't have a plan when it comes to feelings. Most people are like, hey, when they come, it's just like, whatever. Right? That was me. Well, sure, I love cross country. I had no idea what it was. It's whatever feels good. Or whatever feels right. Whatever I've seen on movies or TV or YouTube videos, whatever I've heard in popular music, that I guess I'll do that when I have these feelings. That last one was for me, right? Like those songs, I didn't have the lyrics to those songs written down in these notes. I still know them because they just stick with me in a way where I was like, "Doy, that's what I'm gonna have," right? It resonated with me. But man, a lot of people don't have a plan and thinking through, what am I going to do with these feelings? And here's what I want you to know. God has a plan for your feelings. And one of the things I really love about student ministry is you guys are in a really crazy time of your life. Like, really crazy. So much is changing. So many things are changing. Right? Like, your clothes don't fit. Your voices are changing. You don't like the stuff that you used to like, the stuff you didn't used to like, now you do like. You're getting taller quick. Some of you, you're watching other people get taller quick while you're getting taller slow. You know, girls are shaving their legs. Guys are shaving their faces, even though I have like 7 hairs that are like that long, right? They're like, gotta shave that, man. You know, you've got zits, you've got braces, you've got class schedules, you've got lockers, you've got crushes, on and on and on. So many things are changing during this time of your life. And there's all these different ways of looking at that. Like, should I be embarrassed by this? Should I be excited about this? Should I be nervous and scared and anxious about it? There's all kinds of different ways of dealing with them. And part of why, like, we love student ministry is because we love to help you see all these things the way God sees them and the way God wants you to see them. Because think about this, right? If we just sang, God is way maker, promise keeper, our God, that is what you are. And all the time we talk about and sing about how good God is. And if think about this, if God is good over here, right? Like, he sent his son to die for us. He loves us. If he's good over here, he's got to be good over here also.
Like, he's got to be good when it comes to feelings. And he's got to be good when it comes to all these different things that are changing in our lives and changing about us. And his ways have to be good, because he can't be good in one spot and bad in another spot. That doesn't make sense, because he's God and he's all powerful and he's unchanging. And so what we love to help you see is how God sees all these different things that are going on in your life. Because there are a lot of voices and a lot of different things people are telling you and the world is telling you that are just not true. And if you buy into them and you believe them, they will not lead to life, but they will lead to pain and hurt. And it'll be like you ran cross country for 2 years to try to impress a girl and it was miserable, right? I never actually like ran in vicinity of her anyway, because she was so much better than I was. I was in the back. And so God has a plan for your feelings. Can you imagine if I was up here saying, hey, I know you have these feelings and here's what you need to know. They're bad. They're bad. Or if I was like, hey, you just need to pretend like they're not there or ignore them. That would feel so helpless and probably so frustrating. Because you're like, well, some of these are really strong feelings, right? Feelings that led me to run a lot of miles. I can't pretend like they're not, pretend like they're not there or they're bad. What? But that's not what I'm up here about to tell you. And that's good news. That's not how God thinks about them. That's not how he wants you to think about them. God has spoken more clearly than you might think about the relationship between a man and a woman. And that's where this book called Song of Solomon comes in. And Song of Solomon it's written like a love song or a poem, right? And they use some funny language in there because it was written, you know, like thousands of years ago. But it tells the story of Solomon and his true love, right? Like, or this ideal, more like his ideal love. And this ideal love story. And it kind of goes back and forth between Solomon says something and then like his true love says something. And it covers all kinds of stages from their love, from like the first attraction to marriage to struggles to happily ever after. And it's this amazing story that a lot of times we overlook, maybe because it's awkward, maybe because we just overlook it. And today we're going to look at some parts of it. And we're going to see what God has for us in that. We're going to make specifically two observations about God's plan for feelings. And you might be surprised by what we see and what we find there, but I think you'll definitely find that it applies to you. Because this is always going to apply to you. It's God's word that's unchanging. And even though you're like, man, it's 2020 and this was written like BC, like how can it apply to me? And it does. And we're going to see that this morning. So I'm going to read you just some parts real fast. We're going to kind of jump around. We'll list a couple verses here in a second, but let me just read you some excerpts from Song of Solomon, and this might get awkward. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfume. How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful your eyes, your hair, your teeth, your lips, your neck. Your lips drop sweetness as the honeycomb, my bride. Milk and honey are under your tongue. His left arm is under my hand and his right arm embraces me. Take me away with you. Let us hurry. All right. I don't know if that was as awkward for you to hear as it was for me to read to you. But one thing that we can all take from that is this. God is for feelings. Like, that is undeniable that God is for feelings. When you read that, like, you cannot disagree that God is for feelings. These people are not shy about the way that they feel about each other. Now, I've never heard, you know, like the guy complimenting the girl's teeth like that. So that maybe it was weird, but like, man, we can't deny they are not shy about the way they feel about each other. And those are really only pieces of it too. Like, it's a longer book and there's some really, there's all kinds of details about this passionate romance. And it shows that God is all for romantic feelings between guys and girls. He created it for us as a good thing. Think about that. God created those romantic feelings for us as a good thing. And he shows us in the book, in that book, how not even just how okay it is, but how great it is for us as people to enjoy it. God celebrates the love between a man and a woman. And for some of us, that's the big reveal this morning, right? Like, that's the spoiler alert that you're like, wow, this morning that you find out is that God is for feelings. Because maybe you had in your mind this picture of a God who just always wants you to suppress your feelings or always wants you to pretend like they're not there. And that's just not what we see in the Bible. God is for feelings. And, you know, God himself has feelings. Like, if we had more time, I would take you in the Old Testament over and over to talk about some of the, and show you the feelings that God expresses. Primarily, it's how much he cares for his people and how much he mourns when they chase after other things that do not bring them life. Colossians 2 calls Jesus the image of the invisible God, which means if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. And if you read through the New Testament, you will see Jesus express feelings. The shortest verse of the Bible is in John, and it says this: Jesus wept. And he was weeping over the death of his friend. Jesus expressed feelings. And if you were to read all of Song of Solomon, you would see that over and over and over and over and over again. God is for feelings. He created them for us for good. But if you were also read Song of Solomon, the whole thing, you'd see another idea put forward like several times. And I want to show you one of the verses there. And it says this: promise me, O women of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and wild deer, not to awaken love until the time is right. Now, that's kind of a goofy way of saying it. You've probably never asked somebody to promise you by the gazelles and the does of the field, right? So that's kind of a goofy way to say it. But in a different translation, here's what it would look like: do not awaken love until the time is right. Or it'll say again, don't excite love. Don't stir it up until the time is ripe and you're ready. And it says that three different times in chapter 2, in chapter 3, and in chapter 8. And all that seems to communicate this idea: God has set a time and a place for acting on feelings. And if you look carefully at the Song of Solomon, like if you read it, the love of the couple is not fully celebrated until a commitment has been made. Which makes sense, because if you think about it, we do that in culture, right? Like some of you might have been to an engagement party when two people got engaged. I remember my engagement party. I tricked my wife into like thinking she was planning a surprise birthday party, but it was actually our engagement party. And like people were there to celebrate because they're like, hey, they just got engaged to get married. And then the wedding is like the biggest celebration, right? Where like everybody dresses up nice. The bride puts on this beautiful gown, and then they have a big party afterwards with good food and fun dancing and all that stuff. But think how weird it would be if you went to a party as big as that because a guy and a girl made it to like their fifth date. That'd be so weird. You'd be like, this is ridiculous. Why am I here? You made it to five dates. Well, okay. Right? We celebrate fully the love of a couple when a commitment has been made. And that's what you see in Song of Solomon. They are not celebrated fully, their love, until a commitment has been made. So as those two get to know each other more in Song of Solomon, a lot of strong feelings come up between them. And as that happens, you see that warning that we talked about, that we showed, like it pops up three different times early on. And that's a big warning designed to get their attention and ours as people who are reading that. God is saying, hey, wait for the right time and place. And that time and place is marriage. That's the time and place that God has set for feelings to be fully and totally acted upon. That's when those two lovers in that book of Song of Solomon truly express their love and affection for one another. The safe and trusted confines of marriage. That's the safest place, because what happens in marriage is a guy and a girl promise to each other, right? What are the vows? For better or for worse, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. They don't go, hey, as long as you still make me happy, hey, as long as you don't make me too angry, then I'll stick with you. If you were at a wedding where they said that, you'd be like, you'd do a double take. Like, what? That doesn't make sense. They promise to be with each other till death does them part, in good times and in bad, for richer or for poor. And that is the safest place to act upon your feelings, to fully express the love that we see this couple express in Song of Solomon. Because without that, there's no commitment made yet. And either party can really go their own way. And so the warning for them is this. Hey, don't get so fired up about somebody. Don't get all fired up about someone unless you're ready for the real deal and ready to commit to someone for the rest of your life. And in that repeated verse, we see God's point of view of putting feelings into action. It's not to be hated. Those feelings aren't to be thought of as evil. Those feelings are good and right, but only within the context of marriage as God planned it, and only when you're ready. And so how does that apply to us? Here's why. We know that God is for feelings. We know that God has set them to happen in the right time and place. And so here's what we can do. Here's what you can do as 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. Take it slow and trust God. That's what I want you to do with it, is to take it slow and trust God. Does God think of strong feelings between guys and girls as good and right? Yes, he does. That couple in Song of Solomon, are they condemned? Is their hand slapped for having those feelings? No. Those passionate and romantic feelings are good and right, but it is not the time yet to light the fires and take their friendship to something much more. And even at the young, early stages of their relationship, they are not fully committed in marriage, so that God reminds them, hey, hold off, slow down. Don't awaken love until the time is right. Don't excite it until the time is right. Because God knows what we also know is that feelings, man, like when they really, really get going and when you just let them take over, man, it is hard to separate from those. And it's hard to make like the right decisions and good decisions once you fully let feelings take control. So if you are out there in that place where you've got these feelings, you've got some interest in some guy or some girl, your interest in the opposite gender is totally normal, totally right, a true reflection of who God has made you to be, how God has made you. But the warning for you is this: take it slow until you're ready to be married. And I'm going to guess not many of you are ready to be married. Just a hunch, right? To be able to go off on your own, be married, support yourselves financially, right? Be mature enough to care for another person more than you care for yourself, to sacrifice day after day. I'm just going to take a hunch. Most of you not ready for that. And that's fine. That's totally fine. Like I would be shocked if the opposite were true. But because that's true, God's warning for you and my warning and my advice for you is to take it slow and trust God. Next week, we're going to talk about what do we do when our feelings seem so right, but they don't line up with what God's word says. Like, how do you handle it when you feel something so strongly, but the time is not right right now or may never be right? We're going to talk about that next week, but here's what I want to close with. God is for relationships. God is for feelings. And God has boundaries. And boundaries are a really good thing. A few months ago, my wife and my daughter had gone to her mom's to hang out for a couple days. And I woke up one morning and I was like, man, I'm going to have some cereal. So I go to our cabinet, our pantry, and I try to open it and it's jammed. And I'm like, what part of the house is broken now? You know, I'm like, why won't this pantry door open? You're kidding me. And then I realize, oh, it's baby proofed, right? Like, because now, like at that point, our daughter Harper is like able to move around and able to open stuff. And like, even now we find all her toys in random drawers. But like, so Emily had gone through one day, like the day before, and baby proofed everything, right? So like locked all the cabinets and pantries and all that stuff, put the electric, you know, panel covers on and all that stuff. And I'm like, I can't figure out how to open this thing. I'm like, yeah, it's Sean proof also. And I'm like, what is going on? I just want some cereal. And I couldn't open it. And I finally had to call Emily and be like, babe, I can't open this thing. And it turns out there's like a magnet that you had to get to like open it. It's weird. I don't know. Technology's crazy now. But the boundaries are good for a reason, right? Because Harper could have opened that and just trashed the house or eaten stuff that we didn't want her eating. You know, and that wasn't the only pantry that was baby-proofed. There's also the pantry, the cabinet below our sink that has all the cleaning stuff in it. And if she got into that, that'd be really bad. And Harper doesn't know the difference between what's, you know, poisonous and not poisonous. You know, she can barely say dada and mama at this point. And so we have to set boundaries. We have to create those boundaries for her good. And God is a good dad. And the boundaries that he sets are for our good, including the boundaries on feelings. If you were at D-Town and you went to a breakout about dating and you heard one of our leaders, Austin, and his wife speak, man, you heard them say a lot of these same things. And specifically, man, their story is one where, man, largely they did this. They took it slow. They trusted God all their lives. And there's one phrase that they kept saying over and over again that was, hey, more joy and less scars. And that's what God is after. That you'd have more joy and less scars. That when you act upon your feelings and you're finally in the time and place where it's the right spot to do that, that, man, you don't have all these scars from other times where you haven't done that. And if you've already acted upon that stuff, then I want to tell you that not all is lost. And you can avoid more scars going forward, man, by taking it slow and trusting God. And God can redeem those scars and free you from those and take away the sting over time. But man, if you want more joy and less scars in your life, trust God. Trust his plan. I have never heard somebody say when they got married, I wish I would have had less of a plan when it came to feelings. But I've heard several friends, including, and I would have said this, I wish I would have had more of a plan when it came to my feelings. I wish I would have taken it slow and trusted God. Not just so that would save me from 2 years of cross country, but that it would save me from even more years of heartbreak and hurting other people and having scars. God can be trusted. He's after our joy and he wants us to have more of it. He's for feelings, but he's created a time and a place for them to happen best because he's after more joy and less scars. So take it slow and trust God, and let me pray that you would. Lord, thank you that your word is so, it's enough to the point where it even talks about how we can view romantic feelings that we have. Lord, and we live in a broken world. And so we recognize, God, that, man, sometimes those feelings can get confused. Sometimes we don't know what they mean or don't always know what to do with them. But, God, would you help each of us go, hey, I'm going to take it slow. I'm going to trust you. Above all else, Lord, would you give us a heart that trusts you more today than we did yesterday? Because if we can trust you, man, the rest will take care of itself. Would you give us courage to speak up and tell people close to us about the feelings we have? God, and would you help us listen to the counsel they would give us? Thank you for the people we have in our life that you've put there to allow us to share that with. God, help us to trust you more. We ask this in your name. Amen. Guys, we love you. Have a great week.